I don't know if you realized or not that when you looked at the lectionary this week, one of the scriptures recommended was the Song of Solomon, or some Bibles call it the Song of Songs. And you wonder, why in the world is that book in the Bible anyhow? Well, you've heard me say sometimes, you don't have to watch television, soap operas on television. No, you don't need to do that. If you want that kind of excitement and stuff, just read the Bible. Well, the Song of Solomon is one of those books that are surely special. Somebody whispers, "I love you." What does that mean? What is he or she trying to say? And what is love anyway in our day and time? If somebody asked you to define love, how would you describe it? Well, I love to play golf. Or, well, you see, today's world, the word love is tossed around very loosely and it's very casually spoken. And the phrase, "I love you," can now mean, I have feelings for you, I admire you, I want to go to bed with you. And the Song of Songs reminds us of the true meaning of marital love as God intended it. Now, I know people are, saying, well, marriage isn't what it used to be. It now means this, it now means that. Well, I can tell you, marriage is simply between one man and one woman, the way God intended it. That's how you have procreation. Anyhow, I digress. Love is real, and real love is in the context of marriage, and it's a rock-solid, unwavering, undenying commitment to care for and enjoy and to build up your mate within the security of this total commitment, this intimacy, the vulnerability, and the keys to excitement and fulfillment in marriage. And it is exciting. Now, I did it God's way this time, but I was married twice before and I didn't do it God's way twice before. But when Judy and I were put together and led together, or led to each other by God himself, we decided that we were going to try to do it God's way. And it's been a wonderful blessing. We don't always agree on things, but we never go to bed unless if we had something going on in the day that we didn't resolve it and say, I'm sorry, I didn't mean it, whatever, communication is really what makes a marriage special. But now Solomon, who wrote the Song of Songs, suggests a different set of events. He says first comes a loving commitment, then marriage, then sexual intimacy and commitment and trust. And these are the foundational stones to a wonderful, romantic, and intimate, and fulfilling marriage. They give you the freedom to grow and explore your relationships without fear of rejection or abandonment. Well, that may be so, preacher, but I read the Song of Songs, and it's crazy. So my question is this: why is there an entire book of the Bible dedicated to a romantic love? Well, some people believe that the subject matter in the Song of Solomon about romantic love is not a very noble theme. Because some try to allegorize the book in order to provide it with a higher and more spiritual purpose. But, I say the buts, I like the buts and the ifs. But, what is low or unspiritual about the love between a husband and a wife? Well, the Song of Solomon is dedicated to the theme of romantic love, and the Lord knows that we need to see how love should look between a husband and a wife, amen? But, I love the buts, but Solomon had more than one wife. In fact, he had 700 wives of royal birth and 300 concubines. First Kings chapter 11, verse 3. Now, while it is uncertain how Solomon was when he composed the Song of Solomon, he might have just been one man and one woman at a time. I don't know. We don't know that. His emphasis, though, is on one true love, and it leads many scholars to suspect that Solomon was writing of his relationship with his first wife. Maybe so, we don't know. But the message is the same. Before the sinful multiplication of wives occurred. Now, an overview of the context in the Song of Solomon reveals many important aspects of love, romantic love. For example, there's a proper time and place for romantic love to begin and grow. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 7. And romantic love involves a longing between a man and a woman. Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. Mutual admiration, chapter 1, verse 12, and chapter 2, verse 7, and a desire to be together, Solomon 3, 1 through 5. So, romantic love does include sexual expression. There's no doubt about that. And the appropriate context for sexual intimacy is within marriage. Song of Solomon, chapter 3, verse 6, and 5, verse 1. So, after a wedding, you always see the couples after the wedding, and they face many different situations as they grow together and start a life together. And it's important for them to keep their romantic love alive. That's why you have Friday night date nights and stuff. Judy and I still do that. We don't do it as often as we should or do, but we still try to set aside a time just to fellowship with one another. But couples will often face occasional indifferences to each other, a time apart from each other. My uncle Waddy had a weird sense of humor like I do sometimes, and he said one day, the absence of the heart makes one grow fonder for somebody else. Oh no, that's not the way it's supposed to be. Whenever you're apart from one another, your heart is supposed to have love and continue. But anyhow, I digress. Renewed display is love, and rekindling of romance also as important as communication within marriage. In chapter 7 of Song of Solomon, it focuses on improvements in this area, followed by the increase in intimacy. Chapter 8, romantic love and intimacy is a God-honoring marriage, and it's an important goal to achieve for all couples. Now, God presents love as something to be desired. Many waters cannot quench love, it says in the Song of Solomon. It says rivers cannot sweep it away. If one were to give all the wealth of one's house for love, it would be utterly scorned. Song of Solomon, chapter 8. So true love endures, and it overcomes adversity. Nothing is worth giving up on godly love, because love is priceless. Agape love. True love. Not the kind of love that we just, you know, throw around in these days. I love the movies. I love this. I love that. No. Love. Agape love. Unmerited favor is the kind of love that we have between a husband and wife. So today's society, the time and day we live in, marriage is often ridiculed and broken or even redefined. But the principles found in the Song of Solomon offers a godly perspective on the importance of marriage, romantic love, communication between husband and wife, and the value of a marriage that endures. Fidelity in marriage is very important. And that's why sometimes when you read the Song of Solomon, you say, wait a minute, he had all these wives and others. Yeah, well, it still comes down to love between a man and a woman, and fidelity is very, very important. Oh yeah, we all make mistakes, but we can seek God's love and forgiveness. I've had my marriage restored a long time ago, and it's a beautiful thing when two come together and admit all their mistakes and say, yes, but God has forgiven us, and let's come together and start anew and learn to build trust again. And it was hard for me because I had to learn to trust all over again. You know why it was hard for me? Because I was untrustworthy. But my wife and I, that had restored our marriage, and she was really responsible for helping me to renew my relationship with Christ, she began to trust me a little bit, and then a little bit, and then a little bit more, and then a little bit more, and then, wow, before she went home to be with the Lord, we had a wonderful marriage, a godly marriage. And I think that's what prepared me for our relationship with Judy and the kind of life that we have now with a marriage that is God-honoring, I guess. Now, we still have our little here and there and different things, and we don't always agree. But you've heard my Christian philosophy. We can agree to disagree, but we can still love. Well, with that, we come into a prayer of agreement with the four folks that are on our prayer line. I just wanted to tell you one little thing that happened last week, and it's turned out okay. But Linda Sassine and David went to the mountains up in Gainesville, Georgia, and while she was there walking her dog, she slipped and fell and injured her shoulder. That's the bad news. The good news is she didn't really break anything. But the other thing is, you know, Dave is not able to see real well, so he can't drive. So Linda's been doing all the driving. But they have friends here in Tallahassee that drove all the way up there. And Linda can ride with her friend, and Dave can ride with the husband. And it all worked out good. So I'm recording this on Friday. They're anticipated to be back home on Friday, today, when I'm recording this. So we want to keep Linda special prayer. But we run into all kinds of little things all day long, and people ask for prayers and so forth. And sometimes we remember, and sometimes we don't. But when you say you're going to pray for somebody, you know, God hears that prayer. And if you forget to sit down in a position and say it, it's still done. So we do want to lift up a prayer of agreement and prayer for all of those that we know about and some that we don't know about, as we pray the prayer Jesus taught by praying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Have a blessed day.